going to be looking at verse 24. Let's go to God and pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have to worship together today. We thank you, Father, for this occasion that we come today to celebrate the time when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem. A time, Father, when the last week of his life was there and what he suffered during that last week for us. And we thank you so much for that as we build up now to our Easter service next Sunday. And Lord, we just pray you might speak to the hearts of those that need to make decisions for you today. And we pray your will might be done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Look down there at verse 24, Matthew 27. Keep your Bible open. We're going to look at some other verses in Matthew 26 and 27. And it says, and when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. In other words, you can crucify him. You know, there's an old legend that says that Pilate, after Jesus was crucified, that Pilate actually went insane. They put him in an asylum and that he went around continuously all day and all night washing his hands, trying to get the blood of Jesus off of his hand. Don't know if that's true or not. It's not scriptural, but certainly Pilate did have the blood of Jesus on his hand like so many others did. So what's on your hands this morning as we think about it? Title of our sermon is, we've got dirty hands, and we have. You know, we've become real conscious now about washing our hands because of all the disease and the viruses and all of these things that are going around. And every time you go by a place, you want to wash your hands. We have this sanitizer you can put on your hands now and wipe it off and sanitize your hand. But what's on your hand? You know, sometimes when a person robs a bank, the teller, when putting the money in the bag, will drop one of those dye bombs in there and say, go out, the dye bomb goes off. And they get the red dye all over their hands, all over the money. It renders the money useless, and it's on their hands. They can't get it off. It won't wash off. There are other places sometimes, there are methods by where in businesses think someone is stealing money, that they can take the money and that they can put certain chemicals on it, and then run the hand under an ultraviolet light, and it will show up if they have touched that money that had those chemicals on it. You see, some things are evident, and some things are not evident. But what we have to remember is God sees all things that are on our hand. So what's on your hands this morning? We're going to look throughout the Holy Week. This is the week prior to Easter, prior to the crucifixion, rather, and then Easter 3 days later. And people in that week, they had some things on their hands. They had some things they need to be cleansed from. And I think the first thing that we might find on our hands was in that week as well. And that's the tears of contradiction. Look down there, if you would, in Matthew chapter 26, if you've still got your Bible open, verse 33. And it says, and Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. Then drop down to verse 69. And now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, that thou wert with that fellow, was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and they said unto Peter, surely thou art of one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. And then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. On his hands, he had the tears of contradiction. You ever have a contradiction with Jesus? You ever have a contradiction like Peter did? Peter said, Lord, you know, I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to stand by you right to the very end, and you can count on me. Now, these other turkeys, they may let you down over here, but I'm not going to do it. I will stand with you right to the end. But Jesus saw through that, didn't he? He said, no, Peter, tonight you're going to deny me three times before the cock crow. Three times. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, excuse me, we have these words. Whosoever shall therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. And who does not confess me before man, I will not confess before the Father. Peter had the tears of contradiction. He's saying one thing, but he's doing something else. Have you ever had an opportunity this week to do something right and you didn't do it? You had an opportunity to do something really for God and you didn't do it? Oh, you said you would. You said you'd do it. You sang those words of those songs that said you would do it. And you pledged that you would do it. And you said you'd do it in your prayer, but when the opportunity came, somehow or the other, you just didn't do it. You see, that's what Peter had. Over in Titus 1:16, we have these words. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and to every good work a reproach. It's easy to profess that we know God, isn't it? It's easy to stand up here and sing the song, and we sing the praise songs, and we sing the song, God, I'll do this for you. God, how much I love you. God, how I'm going to serve you. And then we go out, and during the week, we forget all about it. We have tears of contradiction. But the sad thing is, we don't even have the tears. We just have the contradiction. We're not really sad that we let God down. We're not really sad that we contradicted what we said that we were going to do. So what have you got on your hand? Maybe you've got the tears today. Maybe you didn't do those things last week that you sang about last Sunday when we sang. Or think about the songs today. Go home and look at those words that you sang today and see, was that a promise to God? Am I going to live a life of contradiction this week? Well, I'm going to have the tears of contradiction on my hand just like Peter did. You see, we can depend on God, but can God depend on us? Did any of you get up or go to bed last night worried to death all night long that the sun might not be shining this morning? And it's shining. You just can't see it through the mist. It's shining. Did any of you worry all night long about, boy, I hope God gets the mixture of air right tomorrow. I'd hate to get up and not have the right mixture of air and not be able to breathe. No. You knew it was going to be there. Why? We can depend on God. Can people really depend on us? Above all, can God depend on us? I remember a story about the girl that was going off to college, and she called her mother in. She said, now, mother, I'm going to be gone. You see these plants that I have here? They all mean something to me, and I want you to water my plants while I'm gone. Oh, honey, I will. No problem. And my goldfish, I want you to feed my goldfish and take care of it. Oh, I will, because it belongs to you. A couple of months later, the mother went to visit her there in college, and they began to talk, and the daughter said, well, mother, how about my plants? How are they doing? Well, hon, they died. I forgot to do that, but I have been so busy, you know, I just forgot something. Well, how about the goldfish? Well, hon, you know that goldfish died too. I have been really busy, and I forgot to go in there and feed the goldfish. You don't know how busy I've been. The girl sat there for a minute. She said, I'm afraid to ask about Dad. Can God depend on us? Can he depend on us? Are we like this woman? We get so busy that we don't take care of the things that we said that we would take care of for God? That we don't do the things that we said that we would take care of and do the things that we said that we would do? Do you have the tears of contradiction on your hand? Look at your hands this morning. Are they there? Have you contradicted what you really said you would do for God? Then also we have the water of compromise. That's what Pilate had that we read about. Pilate called all of the people around him in, and he called in Jesus, and he brought him out on that balcony. And it was customary in that day that they release a prisoner. And so he goes down to the very bottom of the jail and gets old Barabbas, a notorious criminal, and brings him up and stands him beside Jesus. And he thinks surely the people are going to let Jesus go because he knows Jesus has done nothing, that he's innocent. And he looks out at the people and he says, who should I release unto you? The custom was release one. He says, I've got him now. And they said, Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Well, what shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him, they said. You know, he asked a question there that every one of us has to ask in our life. What shall I do with Jesus? What am I going to do with him? Am I going to accept him? Am I going to reject him? Am I going to follow him? Or am I going to go my own way? What am I going to do with Jesus? And so Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him, they said. You know, if you read over in all the Gospels, give this account. One of the Gospels gives the account that Pilate's wife came to him and said, listen, I had a dream and a vision last night. Don't have anything to do with this innocent man. Don't have anything to do with Jesus. Just set him aside because in the vision I saw he's innocent. Don't have anything to do with him. But Pilate did. He said, carry him out to be crucified. But I tell you guys, I'm washing my hands of it. I'm not going to be guilty of it. You will be guilty of the crucifixion. You can't wash that blood off, can you? He couldn't wash off the blood of Jesus off of his hand. There's no way that he could get rid of that. You can't wash away the stains of compromise. You ever compromise? You ever give in on the things of God? Have you compromised this week? Have you gone along with the crowd when you knew things were really wrong? And because somebody said, hey, it's okay. Everybody's doing it. Hey, it's okay. Come on and take part in that. Have you ever compromised on God? I think we all have. I think if we're totally honest, we have to say, yes, we have. We've compromised on God. Pilate did. He compromised. He knew exactly what was right, and yet he didn't do what was right. You ever go along with the crowd? That's what Pilate did. He just went right along with the crowd. You know, over Daniel chapter 3, over there in verses 16 through 18, we have the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you remember, they were down in Babylon. And old Nebuchadnezzar made this giant golden statue. And he said, everybody will bow down to it. When you hear the music, bow down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. Somebody ran to the king. Always somebody there, isn't it? They ran to the king, and they said, listen, they didn't bow down. And he called them in. He said, now listen, let me tell you guys, you're supposed to bow down. Now what's your answer? And you know what they said? They said, king, we don't even have to think about this. We don't even have to think about it. We'll tell you right now, we're not bowing down to your golden image. Our God can deliver us from that, and even if he chooses not to, he is still God and will not bow down. Why? Their mind had already been settled years before. You know, in the story of Daniel, the first opportunity they had was when they wouldn't drink the king's wine and eat the king's meat, and they took a stand to serve God and to follow God. You see, when the time came to bow down, they didn't have to think about it. They knew they weren't going to do it. Let me tell you, right now, you need to make those decisions to follow God. You need to make those decisions not to compromise. You need to make your decision not to be contradictory in what you say and what you do for God. Because if you wait until the opportunity comes and you begin to think about it and you begin to rationalize it in your mind, there's an awful good chance you're going to justify it and you're going to give in. They didn't even think. They said, king, we don't even have to think about this. No, we made this decision a long time ago. Remember that decision you made for Jesus. Let it really be important to you. Let it be important. Stand for the things you need to stand for. The church today, we need to stand for some more things. We don't speak out like we ought to speak out sometimes. That's a unified church. America. There comes a time in America when we need to stand for things. We need to stand up and say, hey, this is right and this is wrong. Take a stand. You see, if you don't take a stand then, and you don't stand up for the Christian principle, then don't complain when the Christian principles fall and when somebody goes against those Christian principles. We need to stand for those things. Over in chapter 12, verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world. Now that word conformed was a word that meant take something and squeeze it. He says, don't be squeezed by the world. Don't be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Don't be conformed. Be ye transformed, he said. How do we get transformed? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, by accepting him. By following him, by reading his word, by worshiping him. The church today is pressured to fit in with the world. It's politically correct to fit in with the world. The church never needs to be politically correct. The church needs to be biblically correct. And that's all that counts, that we stand up for the principles of God. And if it offends somebody, then it just have to offend somebody. But we stand up for God's principle. If you don't stand for something, what's that old song? You'll fall for anything. And sadly, we've got churches in America, and we've got a nation filled up with people that are falling for anything because they really won't take a stand. Is the water then of compromise on your hands today? Is that water, have you compromised on the things of God? The other one we see in Holy Week, how about the prints of the cross? Are they on your hand? Over in Matthew 27, verse 32, and it says, as they came out, this is carrying Jesus to be crucified, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross. Simon was just standing there. He was an innocent bystander. He was just standing watching the procession go up through. He had come in for the Passover. And now, all of a sudden, they pull Simon out, and they put the cross of Jesus on Simon's back. And they say, Simon, you carry it. Simon had the prints of the cross. He probably had the splinters in his hand that came off of that old rough wood there. He maybe just had the breaks in his skin that tore loose from that wood. That wood was going to tear into the skin of Jesus Christ. But he had the prints in his hand. And over in Matthew 16, verse 24, we have these words. And then said Jesus unto his disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, come and follow me. Then in Galatians 6, 17, Paul wrote, and he says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have the prints of the cross in your hand? Got any splinters there in your hand from carrying the cross? He says, deny yourself. Take up your cross. Come and follow me. David Livingston was a great missionary to the Congo. He sent out one time a telegraph asking for more help to come. The response came back to him. Well, do you have roads that lead to where you are? And he sent back this reply, and he said, no, I'm not looking for people to transport a cross. I'm looking for people to carry a cross. And that's what Jesus said, deny yourself. Take up your cross, he said, come and follow me. There's no such thing as cheap grace. It cost God something. It cost him his son, Jesus Christ. And it's not cheap. It is free to us, but so expensive unto God. There is no easy road, none whatsoever. There comes a time when we have to put our hands on the cross, pick it up, carry the cross. Jesus had the scars for us there. You know that song that says that there's nothing in heaven made by man, but what? The scars in the hands of Jesus. Did you ever think about that? The only thing in heaven that man made are the scars in the hands of Jesus. The scars in the feet of Jesus. That place in his side where that spear was thrust. That's the only thing in heaven made by man. The rest of it comes from God. The cross. Oh, how important it is. We talk so much about the cross. You know, bearing the cross, it's not beautiful to the world, but it's beautiful to God. When you take up that cross, whatever it might be, and you bear that cross, and you carry that cross, just like Simon carried that cross, it's beautiful unto God. Simon had the prints of the cross in his hand. How about another thing of Holy Week? How about the blood of cleansing in your hand? Over in the 27th chapter of Matthew there, verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, that they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and to set up over him his head, his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. In Hebrews it tells us, it took Jesus on that cross to get forgiveness for our sin. Hebrews says you cannot take the blood of the goat, and you can't take the blood of the oxen, and you can't take the blood of the lamb, And that does not forgive sin. It covered it up in the Old Testament, but it doesn't forgive it. And it says it took the blood of Jesus, and they put an inscription over his head, Jesus, King of the Jews. He was the King of the Jews, and he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords today. Over in 1 John 1:7, it tells us this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The hope of the world is in the cross. The hope of all of the world is in Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The cleansing blood of Jesus took our place. Martin Luther told once about a dream that he had. He said as he was in bed, he had a dream one night, and the dream came to him that Satan stood before him. And Satan had a huge scroll, and he began to unroll it, and it had the sins of Martin Luther on it. And Satan would read them out, and he said, I had to admit them. I was guilty of every one of them. And he said, I could feel my soul sinking into the very depths of hell. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appeared to me, and he said, tell Satan to unroll it all the way. And Luther told Satan, unroll it all the way, and Satan refused. And Jesus said, tell Satan in my name to unroll it. And he says he unrolled the scroll. And there on the scroll with all of his sins that were listed, down at the very bottom of it, it said simply this, all paid for by the blood of Jesus. That's it. Isn't it? All of our sin. None of us are perfect. We all sin. But all of those sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus. Satan loves to come back and remind you of them. He loves to call them up. But if you have brought them to Jesus Christ and you are a believer today, then those sins have been forgiven and they're as far away as the east is from the west. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go home. How? By the way of the cross. Why? There is no other way but this. The cleansing blood. But the cleansing blood doesn't need to be on your hands today. It needs to be in your heart. That's where it needs to go, because the cleansing blood can cleanse your heart. It can forgive you of every sin you ever committed, everything you ever did wrong. When the cleansing blood comes to your heart, when you accept Jesus, it is all erased. It's gone. There is no more in your life. Where do we need to be today? Every one of us need to come today simply to the foot of the cross of Jesus and look up at Jesus. What's on your hand? Is it compromise? Is it contradiction? Do you have the prints of the cross there? Have you got some calluses on your hand and some rough places and some splinters in your hand where you've been picking up the cross every day and carrying the cross and denying yourself? We should have. Jesus said to do it. Have you got the blood of cleansing on your hand? I hope it's on your heart. I hope you've accepted the forgiveness that Jesus had for you. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate the resurrection. We know that during this week that Jesus Christ was crucified, that he died upon the cross, not for his sin, but for ours. And they put him in the tomb, but on the third day, he arose. On the third day, he came forth. That's the mighty power of God that resurrected Jesus. And it's the power that can save you in your life this morning and forgive you of all of your sins. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this time we've had to study your word. Father, we just pray that if there are those in our service today who don't know you as Lord and Savior, we pray, Father, that your word might have spoken to them, that they might decide to make that decision for you. They might decide, Father, to invite you into their heart. And for those here who are Christians this morning, Father, may we wash off the contradiction from our hands, never to let it be on there again. May we wash off the compromise from our hands, never to let it come on again. May we desire to have the splinters of the cross in our hand because we're willing every day to take up your cross and follow you. And Father, we thank you so much for the blood applied to our heart that forgives us. We ask now that you might guide us during this time of invitation, and we pray that your will might be done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.